This is the Cambridge English Proficiency Test 2. I am going to give you the instructions for this test. I shall introduce each part of the test and give you time to look at the questions. At the start of each piece, you will hear this sound. You will hear each piece twice. Remember, while you are listening, write your answers on the question paper. You will have 5 minutes at the end of the test to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. There will now be a pause. Please ask any questions now because you must not speak during the test. Now open your question paper and look at part one. You will hear three different extracts. For questions 1 to 6, choose the answer A, B or C which fits best according to what you hear. There are two questions for each extract. Extract 1.
All of you are graduating with a degree in science. So what is science? Some people say that it's about discovering facts and truths about the natural world. In my own field, which is climate science, it's not uncommon to hear about scientific debates, uncertainties and scepticism. Indeed, repeated questioning and testing of our understanding is a fundamental part of all science. However, this does not mean that every claim about climate change published in a newspaper or on the web is correct. Science is about building up and evaluating the whole body of evidence on a phenomenon. It is based on reproducible observations and experiments. Science is not about selecting a few pieces of data that support an idea and ignoring the rest. Selective misuse of small amounts of data or taking observations out of context to support an agenda is not science. Given this, I'm sure I don't need to tell you the most important thing that you've learned as part of your degree is not the facts that you've learned, but the scientific method, the skills to collect, analyse and evaluate data. Value and build on those skills. All of you are graduating with a degree in science. So what is science? Some people say that it's about discovering facts and truths about the natural world. In my own field, which is climate science, it's not uncommon to hear about scientific debates, uncertainties and scepticism. Indeed, repeated questioning and testing of our understanding is a fundamental part of all science. However, this does not mean that every claim about climate change published in a newspaper or on the web is correct. Science is about building up and evaluating the whole body of evidence on a phenomenon. It is based on reproducible observations and experiments. Science is not about selecting a few pieces of data that support an idea and ignoring the rest. Selective misuse of small amounts of data or taking observations out of context to support an agenda is not science. Given this, I'm sure I don't need to tell you the most important thing that you've learned as part of your degree is not the facts that you've learned, but the scientific method, the skills to collect, analyze, and evaluate data. Value and build on those skills.
Extract 2.
Now, today there are a few human beings who, for biological reasons, cannot forget, which sounds like a blessing. They certainly do remember where they parked their car in a shopping mall. But it turns out that they have tremendous difficulties in acting in time, in deciding in time, because they remember all their bad failed decisions in the past, and therefore hesitate to make a decision in the present. Because they're forever tethered to the past, they can't act. They can't stay put in the present, and they can't imagine the future.
So what's the difference between human memory and computer memory or storage?
Computer storage is the capturing of a flow of bits and the retrieval of a flow of bits. It is decontextualized. It is taken out of its original context. We can only guess in what context, in what situation, it was said or done or captured. Human memory, in contrast, is capable of putting things in perspective, of linking events with other events and experiences, of adding context and feeling to it, of reconstructing memory to fit better our own later understanding of what happened. Now, today, there are a few human beings who, for biological reasons, cannot forget, which sounds like a blessing. They certainly do remember where they parked their car in a shopping mall. But it turns out that they have tremendous difficulties in acting in time, in deciding in time, because they remember all their bad, failed decisions in the past, and therefore hesitate to make a decision in the present. Because they're forever tethered to the past, they can't act. They can't stay put in the present, and they can't imagine the future.
So what's the difference between human memory and computer memory or storage?
Computer storage is the capturing of a flow of bits and the retrieval of a flow of bits. It is decontextualized. It is taken out of its original context. We can only guess in what context, in what situation, it was said or done or captured. Human memory, in contrast, is capable of putting things in perspective, of linking events with other events and experiences, of adding context and feeling to it, of reconstructing memory to fit better our own later understanding of what happened.
Extract 3.
Do you think e-books will eventually replace paper ones?
I don't know. There's something about the experience of having a book that's special, isn't there? The feel of it, the cover, all that. You can scribble on it, or even spill your coffee on it, and it's not the end of the world. And if it's well thumbed rather than being pristine, I actually prefer it that way.
Not having to fill up your hand luggage with great heavy tomes when you're getting a flight abroad is a real advantage, though. And you don't have books gathering dust all over the place at home, either. But you can't riffle through the pages in the same way with an electronic device.
It's interesting the way technology's trying to replicate some of that experience of books, like turning a page.
I think the really interesting thing is how they'll affect newspapers. Maybe if more people subscribe to read the news online, it'll give the newspaper industry a boost. Or maybe it's really defunct. I mean, even quality papers are having a difficult time of it at the moment. Do you think e-books will eventually replace paper ones?
I don't know. There's something about the experience of having a book that's special, isn't there? The feel of it, the cover, all that. You can scribble on it, or even spill your coffee on it, and it's not the end of the world. And if it's well thumbed rather than being pristine, I actually prefer it that way.
Not having to fill up your hand luggage with great heavy tomes when you're getting a flight abroad is a real advantage, though. And you don't have books gathering dust all over the place at home, either. But you can't riffle through the pages in the same way with an electronic device.
It's interesting the way technology's trying to replicate some of that experience of books, like turning a page.
I think the really interesting thing is how they'll affect newspapers. Maybe if more people subscribe to read the news online, it'll give the newspaper industry a boost. Or maybe it's really defunct. I mean, even quality papers are having a difficult time of it at the moment.
That is the end of part 1.